Well, we're going to be continuing on in our series in locating the verses we love this evening. We've been doing it on Sunday nights across the summertime, and we're going to be looking at our next one this evening. Taking those verses, those small passages that we love, that we send each other in text messages, that we see on bookmarks, that we see in paintings, and we're putting them in their context and seeing their meaning in Scripture. And the next one we're going to look at this evening is our first requested one. It came from a member of the congregation and asked me to deal with this verse this evening and to locate it in its context. And it's found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, very well known. And it says this, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you." And we're going to read the wider passage in a few moments' time, but that's the verse we're going to be looking at this evening. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. And there's been various ways in how this verse has been used. And there's been various ways in how this verse has been used wrongly. And one of the ways this verse has been used wrongly is it has become a proof text for prosperity. It's become a proof text for prosperity. This idea that if you seek God first, if you put God first in your life, if you honor God, well, all other things will be added onto you. What are all the other things? Well, the context is money and possessions and food and clothes. So those who promote a prosperity gospel, the idea that God wants to give us things and make us rich and make us healthy, take this verse and say, there it is, right there in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added onto you. If you honor God, you're going to get everything else as well. So in my view, that's one way that this verse is used wrongly. Another way that it's used wrongly is that it's used to discourage diligence. It's used to discourage diligence. We're called in this passage to not lay up treasure on earth, but to lay up treasure in heaven. We're called not to worry about tomorrow. We're called to seek first the kingdom of God. So some people teach that we shouldn't plan for tomorrow. We shouldn't be diligent, that we shouldn't work hard, or we shouldn't try to provide for our family and our community, that we shouldn't have savings or shouldn't put money into a pension. That's ungodly. That's laying up our treasures on earth. Worrying about tomorrow. And again, this verse can be used to discourage diligence. To discourage diligence. And again, I would say that's a wrong way to understand this verse. We need to understand and locate Matthew 6, verse 33, in its context and in the light of the rest of Scripture. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to read our passage together from Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 19 down to verse 34. So Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 to 34. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We'll end our reading there at verse 34. And let's just bow in a moment's prayer and ask for God's help as we come to look at this passage together. Father, this is a very well-known verse. And we pray as we come to it this evening, as we come to this passage in your word, that you would open our hearts and open our minds, that you would apply your truth through the power of your Spirit and help us to see, Lord, that you would challenge us and change us and encourage us. We need you tonight. We need the power of your Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you we have it in our own language. We thank you for the freedom in this country to go out over the internet and to meet in our homes and just to hear your word. We pray we wouldn't take that for granted. But Lord, that you might speak to us tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So of course, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, is part of a much bigger section of Matthew's gospel, even of what we read this evening. You see, our passage this evening is right in the middle of what's called the Sermon of the Mount, a sermon that runs the whole way from chapter 5 through to chapter 8 of Matthew's gospel. This sermon that Jesus gives to the crowd and his disciples as they gather around him. Very famous sermon. And in that sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is showing us what it means to be part of the kingdom of heaven, what it really means to be a disciple of his, how you show gospel fruit in following Jesus, and what that looks like in day-to-day life as the rubber of your faith hits the road of this world. What does it look like to follow Jesus on the day-to-day? That's the Sermon of the Mount. Doesn't make us followers of Jesus, but it's to be shown in our fruitfulness as followers of Jesus, as we live out this kingdom behavior, being part of the kingdom of God and following him as our king. And that's where we find this passage that we've read this evening. That's where we find this verse in verse 6, verse 33, about seeking first the kingdom of God. And I just want to pick up on three things this evening of what it means to be a follower of Jesus who is part of the kingdom of God. Someone who seeks first the kingdom of God. What do? Well, firstly, they don't get excited by excess. They don't get excited by excess. Secondly, they don't get exasperated about the essentials. They don't get exasperated about the essentials. And thirdly, they do live life from an eternal perspective. So we have two don'ts and a do. Two don'ts and a do. So firstly, we're going to see our first point, that those who follow Jesus, those who live the gospel fruit in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, don't get excited by excess. They don't get excited by excess. Verses 1 to 18 of chapter 6 that we didn't read this evening, but the first 18 verses of the chapter find Jesus describing how we live for God in the presence of the world. how we pray and how we give to the needy and how we fast and how we're not to show that to the world, we're to show that to God. Where it shows us how to live for God in the presence of the world. Verses 19 to 34 sort of switches that round. And in this passage that we've read together, the focus is on how we as God's people live in the world in the presence of God. How that feels out into our ambitions and how we treat money and how we treat the day-to-day of life. How we live in this world in the presence of God. And in verses 19 to 24 that we read together, we see Jesus teaching very clearly to his disciples that they shouldn't get excited by excess. They shouldn't store up material treasures on earth and just want more and more and more and more. Look at verses 19 to 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Disciples of Jesus should not spend their lives with a sole focus of the accumulation of wealth and things and ambition. And the reason Jesus gives for that is it's all temporal. It's all insecure. It'll be destroyed by rust or by the moth. At any point, it can be taken away in an instant. It can be stolen. It can be taken away. Why spend all your energy and your focus and your worth and find your worth and your value in things? The better car, the bigger house, the promotion, the new handbag, the amazing holiday. None of those things by themselves are wrong. Getting those things in and of themselves are not wrong. What's wrong is when you find yourself treasuring those things, coveting those things, finding your worth and your meaning and your value and your happiness in the treasures of this world. That's what's wrong. When you begin to treasure those things. And Jesus says, don't. Don't store up for yourself treasure on earth. It's fleeting, it fades, and it can be taken away in an instant. Build up treasure in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Put your focus, your ambition, your value into things that are not temporal, things that are secure. The inheritance that you have in heaven. What does Peter say in 1 Peter 1, verse 4? He talks about an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven. For you, there's a treasure in heaven that's secure, that does not fade away. And Jesus is saying here, that's what you're to put your time and your effort and your ambition and your value into. That's what's important. But what is this treasure? Well, this treasure is our experience and our reflection of the gospel. Understanding who God is and what he's done in Christ and how that has permeated every part of our being and changed every part of us and it affects every part of how we live our lives in this world. That's our treasure. It's God's word and prayer and experiencing him in his word and in prayer. It's fellowship with God's people as we form together as a family and a local church. And we love each other and live out the gospel with each other. It's growing more to be like Christ every day and how we talk and how we think and what we do. It's producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It's seeing God's kingdom extended to others. That's the treasure of heaven. Experiencing more and more as the gospel continually shapes us. That's what we're to value. That's what we're to pursue. That's what we're to focus on. That's what it is to be in the kingdom. That's what our treasure is to be. As Jesus says here in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If all you see and crave are the possessions of this life, that betrays your heart. And Jesus says here that if your eye is bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If that's all you see, all you crave, you're not his disciple. You cannot serve both God and money. So that's the first challenge of this passage this evening. Are you excited by excess? What are your ambitions in life? What do you find your thoughts going to when you're daydreaming? What do you put your time and your effort and your energy into? And what are your motives in doing it? Because that will betray where your treasure is. Is it in this life and the things of this life that are insecure and be taken away in a moment? Or is it using this life to further the kingdom of God and grow in the grace of Jesus Christ? That's the treasure that lasts. Jesus says to his disciples here, don't get excited by excess. Don't get wrapped up in the American dream as they talk about it. Don't be excited by excess. Secondly, don't get exasperated by the essentials. Don't get exasperated by the essentials. What if excess isn't your problem? What if excess is not what you're facing at the moment? What if what you're facing is just survival? Jesus deals with that too here in this passage. Look at verse 25. It almost seems as things changes from ambition to anxiety. And we have there that little connecting word in verse 25, therefore. And that word therefore is there because it's connecting what has gone before to what Jesus is now about to say. And what he's saying here is that the day-to-day can just be as dangerous if you have the wrong perspective as focusing on getting more. The day-to-day survival can just be as dangerous to our spiritual lives as that ambition and that focus on material more and more and more. If we have the wrong perspective on the day-to-day. And in verses 25 to 32, he's instructing his disciples not to get exasperated by the essentials. The word anxious is used 6 times in this passage. 3 times Jesus directly says to his disciples and to the crowd, do not be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried about the day to day. That word that's used here for anxious is also used when Jesus addresses Martha in Luke chapter 10. Remember Mary sitting at his feet hearing his teaching? Martha's distracted and she's running around trying to get everything done. And Jesus says to you, Martha, why are you anxious? Why are you worried? Mary's chosen the better thing. What are you doing? She was preoccupied and anxious about the wrong thing. The word is also used in Matthew 13, verse 22 in the parable of the sower. Remember the different types of soil? And remember the seed that falls among the thorns? And Jesus begins to describe who those are who are the seed who falls among the thorns. The seed begins to grow, but the thorns grow round it, and they choke the seed. And Jesus explains that's the anxieties and the cares of life choke the seed. It's the same word that's used here. The cares and the worries of this life, if they're not faced in perspective, can choke the seed. They can be completely against the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus addresses this too. It's not just about the excess and the material gain. It's also about just worrying about the day to day. And he tells his disciples here what they're not to be anxious about. They're not to be anxious about their lives, the essential things that they need to survive. They're not to be anxious about what they're going to eat or what they're going to drink. And of course, Bible times are very different to today. They didn't have fridges full of food. They didn't have Tesco's. Often they didn't have more than their next meal or their meal for the next couple of days. And yet Jesus says, don't be anxious about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't be anxious about your body, your health, and your well-being. Don't be anxious about what you're going to wear. And of course, back in biblical times, they didn't really wear clothes for fashion. They wore clothes for warmth. Jesus is saying, do not worry about these things. Don't be anxious about them. Don't be consumed by a wrong perspective on the essentials, because they're the cares of life, and they'll be thorns that will choke your spiritual life. Don't be exasperated by the essentials. And why are we not to be exasperated by the essentials? Well, he goes on to tell us. Firstly, he tells us not to be exasperated by the essentials, because we are valuable to God. We're valuable to God. And he gives two illustrations from nature here. He talks about the birds and he talks about the lilies. And he shows that both the birds and the lilies are powerless to provide for themselves. Birds are not farmers. Birds don't do the planting and the harvesting to grow the crops. Yet God feeds them. Lilies don't clothe themselves. God clothes them. Flowers. And the point that Jesus is making here is his disciples are much more valuable to God than the birds or the flowers. And if the birds and the flowers can trust God for the essentials, then so can we. Of course, that doesn't mean that the birds can just sit back and not have to go out and seek the food that God provides. No, they go and they actively seek it, but God provides it. Of course, it doesn't mean in our lives that suffering and trials won't come. The birds, at times they don't always find sustenance. The flowers are still thrown into the fire. Jesus talks in Matthew 10, about verse 29, about two sparrows that are sold for a penny. And he says that one does not fall to the ground without the notice of the Father. But when you think about it, the sparrow still falls to the ground. There are times that God allows suffering of his people, and the essentials will not always be provided. But the point that Jesus is making is it's never outside of God's notice, and we are never outside of his care. We are valuable to God. We're much more valuable than the lilies and the birds. That's why we shouldn't be exasperated by the essentials, because we're valuable to God. The second point that Jesus makes is because worrying and anxiety is pointless, isn't it? Look at verse 27. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? What does all that worrying, what does all that anxiety actually achieve? It doesn't change our circumstances. It doesn't add anything to our life. We can't set our hearts on worry because it chokes our spiritual life. Don't get exasperated by the essentials. Trust your Father in heaven for the essentials. Have faith. That's the point that Jesus is making here. John Stott says this. He says, God's children are promised freedom neither from work, nor from responsibility, nor from trouble, but only from worry. Worry is forbidden us. It is incompatible with Christian faith. We are living at a time where many people are anxious and many people are worried. Are you exasperated by the essentials tonight? Are the cares of this world choking your spiritual life? Listen to the words of Jesus here. You have a heavenly Father who loves you, who cares for you, and you can trust him. You are in his hand. And nothing you are facing has escaped his notice. View those challenges, view those difficulties through the perspective of his care. And don't be exasperated by the essentials. But thirdly, we see that his disciples do live life from an eternal perspective. They do live life from an eternal perspective. I am not very good at art. I'm not very good at drawing. But I do know one thing. If you want to draw a straight line without a ruler, you do not look at the pen. When you're drawing that line, if you look at where your pen or your pencil is, you're lost before you start. You go off on a tangent. No, if you want to draw a straight line, you look at the end point. And when you focus on the end point, you draw your line, you're much more likely to draw a straight line. You don't look at your pen or your pencil, you look at the end. And you don't go off. That's where your focus needs to be. It needs to be at the end. And that's the real meaning behind Matthew 6, verse 33. That's how we locate this verse that we love. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What it means in the context of this passage is that we don't treasure the things of this world and put our all and our focus into them. We don't get excited by excess. But it also means that we don't worry about our day-to-day trials and survival. We don't get choked by the cares of this life. We don't get exasperated by the essentials. No, Jesus' disciples are to keep their eyes fixed on the end point, the consummation of the kingdom of God. They're to lay up treasure in heaven through being more like Christ and living out the gospel every day because they've got their eyes fixed on the end point. They're to have faith in their heavenly Father, not needing to worry about tomorrow, but trusting in his providence because they're looking forward to being with him. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added onto you. It doesn't mean that you're going to get all the treasures of this life as an added bonus. It doesn't mean that all the essentials will always be there as an added bonus. It means by faith, as you live for God's kingdom, as you focus on the treasure that awaits you, you will experience the God who is the treasure of your heart. No matter if you have everything or you have nothing. By faith, you will experience his care, his love, his presence, no matter what this life throws at you. And he may not always change your circumstances, but all things will be added onto you because he will change you. We need to see life through a gospel perspective, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the glory that awaits his people. That's what your perspective is to be. An eye on the world to come. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Be all consumed with that perspective of the gospel in Christ. And all these things will be added unto you. That's how you live as his disciple in this world. Maybe you're tuning in this evening and you're not a disciple. I want to ask you, what is your treasure this evening? What are you focusing in? What are you putting your time and your effort and your ambition into? Because it's all going to fade. It's all going to be destroyed. It could be taken away in an instant. And someday you'll stand before God and you'll have nothing to show for it. Don't lay up treasure in this life. You need to seek first the kingdom of God this evening. And the way you seek the kingdom of God is by entering the kingdom of God. By coming to Christ, laying down your works, bringing your sins, and trusting in what he has done for you. If you are a Christian this evening, no matter what cares and worries you're facing, no matter what things want to distract you, Jesus says here, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. You'll understand them from a heavenly perspective. And you'll be able to live for Him no matter what you face in this life.